Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. 2017 should be a healthy year for college hiring, according to the National Association of Colleges and Employers. They find that employers expect to hire 5% more graduates than they brought on last year, and that continues a positive trend for college graduates for the past 8 years. But when it comes to being prepared for the job hunt and for the many positions that are coveted, college seniors may be falling short. It's according to Kelsey G in an article that was recently published in the Wall Street Journal. A separate study finds that when it comes to courting recruiters, the class of 2017 has some homework to do. Kelsey will be joining us the first part of the show today, as will the director of the UW-Milwaukee Career Planning and Resource Center. Later in the hour, the cybersecurity reporter for Bloomberg News takes a look at what was said by many who were testifying from the intelligence community before the Senate and the House Intelligence Committees yesterday about Russian hacking. Welcoming phone calls all hour long, and here is how you reach us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Kelsey, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, our pleasure. So this is good news before we get into the troublesome news, but a healthy year for college hiring. That's a good thing to hear.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I think parents around the world will be happy to know that going to college this year means that you're more likely, or your son and daughter is more likely to get a job this year than they were last year, with employers saying that they're going to hire more graduates this year than they did the prior year for the 8th year in a row.
That's great. Now those college grads, if they want to land that plum job, need to make sure that they're prepared for the interview and prepared to meet all of those recruiters, and they may be falling a little bit short.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. So in a survey of recruiters and hiring managers, while the graduates or the soon-to-graduate students who were surveyed thought that they did really well, they were really confident going into interviews, a lot of the hiring managers and the recruiters that ISIMS, this recruiting software, surveyed said that they were a little bit disappointed in some of those experiences interacting with this class of 2017.
That they're not familiar with the company, that seems like a basic, that you should be learning that somewhere along the way. If you're interviewing for a job with a company, you darn well should know about the company, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the people I spoke to said that some of the answers or some of the complaints that they were hearing about had to do with, you know, just a lot of these students having really generic understandings about what the company did, and really having very little understanding about what a job that they were applying for would actually entail. And I think that probably speaks in some regards to just how easy it has become to apply to zillions and zillions of different places. I think for a lot of students, it's a numbers game. And so, you know, they'll send their resume out or their cover letter to, you know, maybe dozens of places, most of which they know very little about.
Mm-hmm. So they're all doing it by sending stuff electronically? That's how people are finding the jobs and landing those interviews?
Yeah, and I mean, this may be biased because this is coming through, you know, a recruiting software service. So that would all be electronic in terms of what they were seeing. But it was just really astounding to me that something like 3 out of every 4 applicants, one-third of all applicants for some of these entry-level positions, I mean, don't even meet the basic requirements for what the job is asking for.
Hmm. And there are many of them asking for, this is, I think, is pretty astounding, they expect to make $53,000 a year in their first job.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, really, I don't know if you can recall what you were thinking about in terms of the job market back when you were 22. I think for most kids who are graduating from college, they just have no idea, you know, what like a normal amount of money is. And so that one was a little bit less surprising to me, that their expectations are totally out of whack with the actual job market. But, I mean, that's a big number.
It is a big number. They're going to be disappointed, I think, many of them, when they get the jobs and find out they're not going to pay that kind of money, right?
Right. They really may be. And it's, I mean, it's just so interesting. There's this real disconnect, you know, between what a, you know, 20, 21, 22-year-old who's been, you know, in college really thinking about, you know, how to better themselves in these ways that maybe aren't quite, you know, meeting what an employer would have expected them to learn in order to get that job and be able to start on it on day one.
Mm-hmm. Also joining us is Jean Salzer. She's director of the UW-Milwaukee Center for Career Planning and Resources, and she has worked at the university for a number of years. Jean, hello. Thanks so much for joining our conversation.
Hello, you're welcome.
Yeah. So how do you prepare? How should colleges prepare students for the interview process? It's a crucial process. You really have to nail an interview. Do you do that?
Yes, we do. And actually, as the author was suggesting, that we spend plenty of time with students, and we offer our services to students, to classes. And one of the things that comes to mind is the fact that when we learn about how many students or the percentage of students that regularly utilize the services of the career centers, it's very small percentage. And I think that is part of what speaks to, at least on that front end, the preparation with interviewing and having some understanding of what the job is about, learning about the company and that sort of thing. We definitely provide that information to students. However, the percentage of students that we see is smaller than we'd like to see.
Really? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's an aspect that is the classes should teach me what I need to know. Mm-hmm. And we regularly see students that have so much focused on their classes and on the fact is at UW-Milwaukee, the large majority of students are working at least one job, if not more, mm-hmm. to help pay. And so in terms of what kind of time they're willing to put into that sort of thing, it's one of the items that falls by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. So we understand part of the problem here. In terms of they're having unrealistic, well, let's talk about tailoring your job search. Kelsey, you say in your article, too, that there's a mismatch here, that even when you look at people who are applying for engineering jobs, people in tech kinds of fields, computer fields, that there's a mismatch in terms of what? Where they're sending their resumes, that they're not targeting where their searches should be going?
So I think it's more just that, you know, employers are really hungry for students to have STEM backgrounds, so that's science, technology, engineering, math. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, really just depending on the job market, what that can actually look like on a year-to-year basis can mean, you know, there are 10,000 entry-level positions opening up just for software developers, for example. I think it's difficult for students, for universities even, to keep up with the fluctuations on a year-to-year basis because, you know, you may go into school in, like, 2008 when you were told that there's going to be, you know, a huge demand for one type of career when you graduate. And the reality is, you know, industries are constantly in flux, and so are, you know, individual companies. So, you know, what you decide to major in when you're 17 or 18, mm-hmm. You know, may serve you, may not serve you, depending on how the economy looks around you 4 years later.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about your experience with that very subject at the university, Jean. Do you find a lot of students prepare for something that no longer exists?
No, I wouldn't say it no longer exists. I believe that one of the benefits of a four-year institution is that we do what we can to support students' development of a broad range of skills. When it gets into something as specific as actuarial studies or business or engineering or technology, that's where the arena is hard to know, and you have to pay attention to what's going on in the outside world. We have multiple programs for students at UWM for computer programming, computer sciences, software, business systems. So we have a multitude of options for them. It may not, dependent on where they end up, it may provide them with those options. when they come out, it is very dependent on the faculty knowing, and I think on the students paying attention to what's going on with the market.
Mm-hmm.
I would never expect that. I'm thinking of myself. I would never have expected going into civil engineering, say, that I would only have one arena.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like there needs to be an understanding of the breadth of what's available and what needs to be done out there, as well as being aware of the industry.
Right. When you were talking, Kelsey, and I'm wondering what both of your advice would be in this regard, that students are sending because of the internet and how easy it is to just send lots and lots and lots of resumes to lots and lots and lots of people. Is that the best way to go about landing something that's going to be good for you? Do you recommend a different kind of, and do employers who have been surveyed, Kelsey, recommend different kinds of job searches that are more valuable?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. I think, you know, the reason why it has become a numbers game for so many students is because, you know, they don't always have a really great idea of what specific job title or function they want to do right out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, really normal and natural. I think, you know, a lot of students, when they're in college, you know, they don't even know that there's like a voracious appetite for like social media managers, you know, when they're taking that marketing class or whatever. And I think it's interesting that there are increasingly companies that are willing to do a kind of like management training program or some other rotational program to familiarize new grads with every aspect of the business so they can get to know a little bit better, you know, what their strengths and weaknesses are, because it's difficult to guess. But yeah, I mean, it's a good question how to better do it than just, you know, sort of rely on statistics on your side.
Mm-hmm. What do you recommend, Jean?
So on the average student, I would make suggestions with regard to how they're doing the search. What are you putting in? Are you real specific with regard to a title, or are you looking more in a general group related to, like, social media management or social media in general? So when we talk about searches, we bring up the fact that you need to expand that search into something more detailed.
Mm-hmm.
That allows you to do some sorting that can pull out information for you. And there is also this aspect of you need to read the job description,
right,
and pay attention to what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And can you express that? Can you express that in an interview and through the work and not just on your resume? How do you do it? I would never suggest that someone just submit 50 resumes to a variety of companies that have what appears to be a similar position open, because you have to pay attention to what each company is looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that what people do, these college graduates? Do they just submit to 50 different places, not knowing what the specific skills are?
Well, it kind of sounds like that,
yeah.
based on that first comment about,
yeah,
about the number of applications and students not even having a clue what the job was.
Mm. Kelsey, is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really depends on the individual. Some of the students that I've talked to in my reporting for some other stories do seem to be doing quite a few more interviews than I did when I was in school, which leads me to believe that they do have a better, you know, sort of handle on how to get the resume in front of a lot more people these days than, you know, just, you know, 5 years when I graduated, 5 years ago when I graduated from college. But it's interesting to me still that we are seeing employers asking for more and more experience as well. I've done some reporting on what some people refer to as, you know, a kind of inflation of credentials. So for jobs that previously didn't require maybe a graduation from a 4-year accredited university, now all of a sudden they have that. And so I think students really know what they're up against these days, that,
mm-hmm,
like sometimes, you know, companies will ask for like 3 or 4 or 5 internships when, you know, realistically there just weren't that many summers for them to be doing those internships. And so they know that even if they're not meeting, you know, all of the criteria in the job requirements, just, you know, in the description underneath the title, that it's worth a try, because a lot more goes into whether or not they land that job than just if they have the perfect major or the perfect number of years of background in some computer programming language.
Yeah. Well, we're going to welcome phone calls, and we'll have many of them coming in, I'm sure. We're looking at college grads being a bit unprepared for how to enter the job market. The good news here is that the employment picture is looking better. It's a healthy year for college hiring, according to an article in the Wall Street Journal from one of our guests, Kelsey G. Expected graduates, though, are ill-prepared for the job hunt in many of the coveted positions. The other thing, which, you know, Mom always said, and Mom was right, you do a thank you note, and a lot of people don't do thank you notes, and it's a must these days. You got to write a thank you note. It's always been important, right? But you have to remember that. And Jean Salzer is also with us. She is director of the UW-Milwaukee Career Planning and Resource Center. Kelsey covers entry-level work at the Wall Street Journal, and she is a Midwest native and graduated from the University of Chicago. 800-486-8655, the number. The email is talk@wpr.org, our Facebook page. Yeah, what was your experience getting a job? That would be interesting for recent college grads to read the Facebook page to find out what your tips are. It's Kathleen Dunshow, and we're on Twitter @KDunshow. To you in a moment here on the Ideas Network. Joe in Milwaukee. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hey, without diminishing the importance of basic communication skills and thinking about some such and so forth, just to say that I work as a management consultant. I see a lot of hiring, and I see it at all different levels, from advanced degrees positions to entry level. And I think there's several things that are behind the sort of current foobar nature of hiring. And one of them is that, you know, on the company side, I would suggest that companies are not so much hiring for careers, they're more hiring for jobs. And students are being taught in schools to be hired for jobs. Our education generally doesn't prepare as broadly as it might provide students with a toolkit rather than a specific skill. Further, there's what happens because of that is you have sort of proxies for experience. Companies hire proxies to get jobs done. HR departments who don't know any of the functional needs of a company or a particular manager's desires or goals. And students, you know, inflate resumes and put on proxies for actual experience. So that proxies versus actual experience and actual knowledge of what's going on is important. I mean, you know, most people that are hiring don't really know oftentimes what they want in a specific job, precisely because they themselves don't have the specific knowledge or skill. They just know they want this thing to happen. They want this database made, but they don't really know that, well, that's going to require somebody with database 5 experience and lots of experience in serial implementation or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that, in general, we have this crazy computerized and personal system that is being put in place widely now, which is inherently impersonal. And on both sides, you see it. I mean, thank you note probably would end up the same place that a lot of resumes apparently do, because I know scores of highly qualified people who have sent out targeted resumes to specific employers and have never heard anything back at all.
Right. All right, let's get some response, because we have a lot of people calling in. Jean, you want to start?
I would agree with Joe that they're not really, for the person who's doing the hiring, not really fully understanding what they need is a key component. They need to, there needs to be some sort of understanding of the basic skills that a person needs. Now, my suggestion is always that the person who does the final hiring needs to be that person's manager as opposed to someone else. Even if you have a proxy who's taking care of the front end, there needs to be someone within the company, within that area, who can make that final decision. because otherwise you're not going to find out. And yeah, it is with companies, with larger companies using more and more application management systems that cull resumes based on exact wording connecting to the job description. We advise students to create resumes that will break through the applicant management systems to make sure that there's at least someone who will actually be reading them. But that is a way that it can cause problems for finding the right person.
Hmm. Is that the only way to do it? Does it still make sense to use networks and to find people who know people, and then you call somebody on the phone and that person has a name and then you send your resume? Isn't that a better way, or is that really old-fashioned now?
I don't think it's old-fashioned. I think that it's dependent on the size of the company and dependent on the needs of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that there's nothing wrong with networking and getting to meet different people at different organizations, and learning how to interact with people actually supports the student's learning, and it also allows them to make connections that can eventually lead to a nice placement.
Mm-hmm. And Kelsey, what are employers saying in these surveys that have been done about thank you notes?
Yeah, I think a lot of employers really, really miss them. So it seems like, you know, something like 3 out of 4 applicants in this one survey did not send them after the interview. But it's really interesting. I mean, I talked to one person who mentioned that the expectation on the employer's end that they get a thank you note for spending some time, you know, sitting down and talking to a candidate, that might be a little bit old-fashioned. This person who was a hiring manager said that, you know, really when it comes to filling entry-level positions, which is a really critical thing for basically every company, right, they need to fill that pipeline in order to be able to, you know, invest in their workers and
yes,
train folks to one day be management, that really this should be considered a business meeting between two individuals whose time is maybe equally valuable. So why aren't more employers, you know, being asked, or why aren't more students, you know, incensed that employers don't similarly think that it's their job to send thank you notes back, which I thought was really funny.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's something. Thanks, Joe, for the call. Let's go to Michelle in Stevens Point. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so just coming as I'm a recent graduate, actually, from the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and I actually just got a job.
Great.
It's at a fairly large company for an entry-level position that I'm consider myself pretty lucky to actually start at a pretty decent wage. However, that being said, I actually did not reach out to this company to apply for them. It actually was a stroke of luck of meeting one of the hiring managers during the exchange. And from that, we kind of discovered that my kind of aspirations were in line with the company. And then I applied online and received the interview and eventually got the job. However, coming from a student who has just recently graduated and seeing how the job market is situated, I find that a disconnect that students have, and I feel like one of the core reasons why we're kind of in that limbo of disconnect between the real world and our imagined world, is that in school, not only do we have, most of us have one, maybe even more jobs to focus on, but we have so much homework and so much pressure from our advisors in the college to focus very deeply on getting internships in addition to our jobs, to make sure that the things that we acquire in our classes are job-oriented. Now, not all of us have the opportunity to get into the job field that we want when we leave, and that kind of inflexibility that is put in our minds by the professors telling us, if you do this, you will succeed and get the job that you need, and that drilled in us every single day, every semester, it kind of gives us a mentality that if we don't get the job in the field that we want, we are failures.
Yeah, which, of course, that doesn't always happen, the field you want. Jean, what do you say to Michelle?
You know what? I agree. That should be on the students' choices with what they're doing. And it's, there's nothing wrong with getting experience in other arenas while you're in school for finance or marketing, because truthfully, you may find that, okay, yeah, that degree's fine. However, I'm going to end up going to social media management instead of traditional marketing or something like that. So I feel like we need to allow for some flexibility and recognition of the various soft skills and the hard skills, writing proficiency and speaking, public speaking, that's vital to the majority of jobs in the world. People need to develop a large set of skills, and so it actually can support a student's broadening horizon and truthfully looking more attractive on the resume if they have that kind of skill that deviates just a little from the strict path of a particular degree.
And what, Kelsey, are employers saying about the writing and speaking skills of recent graduates? Are they up to par?
Yeah, I think, so this survey didn't delve too deeply into that regard, but some of the questions did hint at, you know, some of the recruiters and some of the hiring managers, you know, thinking that they ought to be a little bit better, you know, coming from the college grads. But, you know, I think what the previous caller said really rings true, though, that a lot of these employers are expecting, you know, students to have the exact hard skills, to know the exact, in some cases, like software programs and things like that, that they would need and that they would learn on the job anyways. And like, there seems to be a mismatch, you know, amongst some companies and employers who say that they want, you know, candidates who have these soft skills, but then, you know, disqualify them anyways for not having some of the technical or hard skills.
Yeah. One more phone call. Kurt in Central Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a little bit different take on this. I think this is an indictment of the educational institutions themselves. You've already illustrated that they have the metrics to tell them that not enough students are using their services that they need. This is a product that you're producing, and you need to make sure that that product is something somebody wants to buy again and again. So you need to require these skill classes rather than say, it's here if you want it. If you want to have a more successful graduating class, and in addition, you need to monitor the students so they don't get, and this may not necessarily be in a Wisconsin school, but since it's a Wall Street Journal article nationwide, they don't get sucked into social justice projects at the expense of the learning the core work skills and values that the employers are looking for, and keep them more on the idea that when they graduate, they have to earn a job rather than expect that they deserve a job.
Thanks, Kurt, for the call. Gene, let's take that to you. Then Kelsey will let you finish up the hour.
I would love it if they could make some sort of connection with their career offices or requirements every single year. We are currently working with the faculty trying to get more involved in the curriculum and recognition that it's not just that end of the first chapter, what does a career in psychology look like? We want to take it to a different level that allows students to start developing that when they're freshmen, as opposed to waiting until they're juniors or seniors.
Mm-hmm. Final word is yours, Kelsey.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting point, and it really speaks to the heart of a big question that a lot of universities seem to be wrestling with right now, which is, you know, what are those 4 years really for? Are they for, you know, preparing a student to have all of the exact skills that they would need that an employer like a big Microsoft or an Amazon or whoever it may be wants, you know, an entry-level worker to have on day one? Or is it for some of these more soft skills, these more critical thinking type skills, and I think, you know, universities are really trying to figure that out right now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both so much for being with us. Thanks, Jean.
You're welcome.
Yep. Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Kelsey G covers entry-level work at the Wall Street Journal, and Jean Selzar is director of UW-Milwaukee's Career Planning and Resource Center.